Happy Easter, and Christ is risen. The hope of glory, the hope for me and you. What would have happened if he never rose? I don't even want to think about it, because our life would be in mess. But because he rose, we have hope in him. Amen. Today I would like to talk about the resurrection changed our destiny. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changed my destiny and your destiny. Together with Christians around the world, we are celebrating Easter holiday. And so many people are probably gonna think, why are you doing that? This is just a story that happened more than 2,000 years ago. But for us, it's the core of our faith. It is the core of who we are. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's powerful. It is important for us to understand that why the resurrection of Jesus Christ has so much meaning. We can just talk about it, or we can just pass it on to our children, but we need to also understand how important this is. The reason the resurrection of Jesus Christ has so much meaning is because without Christ, we were headed for eternal damnation. I want to repeat this. The reason why the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important. Without Christ, me and you, we were headed into eternal damnation, which means separation from holy God. But in Genesis, where everything started, it says this, chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So many Christians today, they're trying to obey God in their own strength. We're trying to put the laws and regulations, and the more we do that, the more self-righteous makes us feel like, and we want to please him. We want to keep his commandments on our own strength. But let me tell you something. In the Garden of Eden, there was one command that God gave him, and mankind could not even keep one command. We're not even talking about the Moses law, Ten Commandments, and others. One command mankind could not keep. That's how serious it is that on our own we cannot make this journey. And that's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit to cause us to obey him. To cause us by the supernatural power to obey him. And as we know that they failed in this command. And Adam and Eve, they came to this forbidden tree. Out of all the trees that they can have and enjoy, always, 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 they came to that one tree that was forbidden. They partook the fruit of that tree. And the Bible says that suddenly they became naked and they began to hide. Fear gripped their hearts and they began to hide. And God came and was walking. They said they heard that God was coming, and they began to hide in fear. But there was a voice that was coming out, and it says, Adam, Eve, where are you? God is always after personal relationship with me and you. It's not just a religion that we have. It's not enough just for me and for you to come here on Sunday and to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and go home and live how we want. But it is important that God wants to have a personal relationship with me and you every day of our lives. Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, and yes, on Saturday when people go and do crazy stuff on the weekends, and yes, on Sunday as well. It's a personal relationship that he desires to have with me and with you. And in this garden where this relationship was broken, man tasted what it means to sin, what it means to be separated from God. And now because the man fell into sin, into deception, thinking that they can do this journey on their own, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 that the Lord said, behold, the man has come like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he puts out his hand and takes also of the tree of life and eats and lives forever, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden. In different words, after Adam and Eve sinned, there was a tree of life. And the Bible says that unless they would have come and partake from this tree of life, they would have lived forever in the state of fallen humanity. If Adam and Eve had the opportunity to run to the tree of life and partake from the tree of life, that means there would have been no hope. That means there would be no salvation. That means there will be no redemption. But man will live forever in sin and in a fallen nature. But thanks be to God that He has provided and foresaw us that we would need a Savior. And for that reason, God guarded that tree. There were fiery swords there. There were angels. They were guarding that tree. God forbid for people to come and partake from this tree and live forever in the sin nature, because He thought of a plan for me and for you to have this new life again that it's offered through Jesus Christ. As a result of Adam's and Eve's sin, that became part of our life. Let me point out four things. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where me and you would be. It's amazing to think about where me and you would have been or be without the resurrection of Christ. And there's four things I would like to share today. First, we'll be slaves to sin. We would be slaves to sin. As much as we want freedom from it, we would be enslaved and ingrained into the power of sin. Not only that, but we were powerless to overcome sin. Sometimes we might think, well, I can deal with sin. Even now in the New Testament, some people think, well, I can do this in my own. I can figure out how to overcome some of the things I'm struggling in my life. But we cannot overcome this sin without Christ. Because we were powerless. Number two, we were hopeless. In the moment when we find ourselves being powerless, that we can't do nothing with this besetting sin that we have, we become hopeless. There was nothing we could have done to redeem ourselves from sin. Nothing. And that's why, as a result of being hopeless, number three, we lived in fear. Fear would come and grip our hearts as it did in Adam and Eve. They began to hide. Fear came into their lives. Fear began to get a hold of us because we were under condemnation. Under condemnation. And finally, without a mediator, we were under eternal damnation, which means eternal separation from God. This has been our history without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is our story without Jesus Christ being in picture. But now I would like to read, if you have the Bibles, if you can open up with me, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 9 says this: "And you made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the princes of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." And I would like to stop here for a second. When we look to the world and we say, well, they are like that. Well, they are sinful. Those people are living in sin. Those people are bound by the power of sin. But here in the book of Ephesians, it says that we were like that. In different words, we are not to look down on people that are struggling. But because we have that hope in us, we are to share this gospel with them. We're no better than the world. We're no better than people that are struggling. Without Christ, we're even worse probably than them. But I love verse 4, and I would like for you to read it with me. It changes the whole story, and here in the book of Ephesians, it just brings the correlation of us being like the people from the world. And then in verse 4, it says, "But God." I mean, we can stop there and go home. But it says, "But God." Aren't you happy that God came into this picture? Aren't you happy that we did not stop knowing that we are like the world once were? But it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. This story is just powerful. But he says now, in the midst of sin, in the midst of struggle, but God came and changed the story. But God came and rewrite the law of death and gave us life. And now he says that through Christ Jesus, even though we are here on earth, we are seated in heavenly places because we live in him. And even though we are here on earth, as Apostle Paul says, being absent from this body, that means we are present with the Lord. That's what the resurrection of Christ is. It gives us a way, it paved us a way for the grace of God to get a hold of our life. And he says that by grace you have been saved, not of your works. If you're here today to think how good you are, how many things you achieved, how many things you're trying to keep in your life to have this access to God, he says you need to be saved. Because the salvation of Jesus Christ into our life has nothing to do with our effort, but has everything to do with Jesus fighting for us, conquering death, raising from the dead for our justification. Hallelujah. And here he says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Can you imagine if it was about works? It would be a competition who gets first. But the level is plain. It is the cross of Jesus Christ, and by faith we are saved in him. This doesn't give us the license to live in sin, to live like the world, but what it does, it gives us the power to actually live the supernatural life the way the Word of God is calling me to do. Amen? We have nothing to boast about, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Say with me, all. For all have sinned. You mean you? Yes. All of us have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. And that's why we are in need of a Savior. That's why Jesus Christ has come to set me free and you free. Because if we were able to save ourselves on our own, he did not have to come and die on a cross. But because we are all sinners now, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish or should not die, but have everlasting life. In different words, living forever. This verse actually opens up the depth of the heart of God, that in his mission to come and save me and you, it was the love that he had for a relationship between you and God. That relationship that was lost in the Garden of Eden, that relationship when God came and says, Adam, Eve, where are you? When people were hiding in their sin, in this verse it says, but now I have come to give you life. And if Adam and Eve had the opportunity to partake from that tree of life, they would have lived forever in the state of sin. But now through Jesus Christ, he's giving us access to come to this tree of life to partake. So now we live forever, but not in a fallen nature, but exalted nature through the power of resurrection of Christ. That's powerful. That is just boggles my mind how detailed God is. How merciful he is for me and for you to have been saved when we were enemies to him. But because he loved us and he wants a relationship with me and for you. Now, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he changed our destiny. He changed our destination. He changed our journey, where we're headed. He made a way when there was no way. He gave the opportunity for those that are lost to be found. He gave the opportunity for those that are broken to be healed. He gave the opportunity for those that are lost to come to Him and find hope. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In different words, when we were yet sinners, God planned and He wanted to come to die for me and for you, because He said, for the joy that is set before Him. We had nothing to offer to Him. We were dead in our trespasses, but He still found joy in us because we are His creation. And He gave me and you a chance to be His children. Praise God. Now, because we are the joy that set before Him, He loved us so we can have a chance to be saved. It is because He found joy in me and in you, in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of a failure, in the midst of sin, He says, I'm gonna go and find you still, because I wanna save you. I wanna save you. Me and you did not deserve for Jesus Christ to come and save us, but because He found joy, because we're His creation, and because of His great love, He did this. Praise be to God. Before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we were slaves to sin, but now the power of sin is broken. There's big contrast. Before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we were slaves to sin, but now the power of sin is broken. No longer we are condemned, but now we are justified because of the cross. Because of the cross. He calls me and you holy. He calls me and you peculiar people. He calls me and you by name, because He has justified us. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 34 says this, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, it is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. In different words, in the middle of this journey that me and you face ourselves, that we're struggling at times, that sometimes maybe we do not have it all together in our life, and He says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen. In different words, the hope that we have through Jesus Christ, and because He has risen, we have communion with Him. And also, He's making intercession for us. In different words, in the journey that we're in, when we fall, He makes intercession for us. He says, Father, I died for him. I died for him. Have mercy upon him. I died and I bought him with my own blood. And not only that, I have resurrected so he can have victory over this struggle, over this sin in his life. And he's not only there to justify us and to give us this life, but also to intercede for us when we fall short and when we fail. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says this, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but after the Spirit. In different words, when we become born again Christians, there is no condemnation to us, but we have been washed, cleansed, and bought by the power of Jesus Christ, and now no longer we walk according to the flesh, but we walk according to the Spirit. And how we can do that? It is the power of the Holy Spirit that gives me and you strength to walk this walk that we cannot do it on our own. Praise be to God. At this time, I would like the worship team to come, and we're gonna close in a moment. Before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we were hopeless. There was no hope in our life. We were hopeless, but now we have a living hope. We have a living hope in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says this, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, it's not just hope that we have, but me and you, we have a living hope. Different words, this hope lives. It's not just happened 2,000 years ago, but it's just as alive today. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ, this hope lives, amen? Before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we were full of fear. We were full of fear, but now we are delivered from fear. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. Another translation says, fear involves punishment. But I want to take a moment now and talk about that. Whatever what you're fearing in life today, the love of Jesus Christ can come and take away that fear. Because in fear, there's torment. In fear, there is punishment. But Jesus Christ, more than 2,000 years ago, he took the punishment on the cross, on himself, for me and you to walk in freedom. And now, no longer we are to be bound by fear, but we are to receive the love of Jesus Christ through the power of the cross and his resurrection from the death. So we can no longer fear death, no longer fear where our journey is going, no longer fear that one day we're gonna be punished for what we have done. But he's offering to me and to you forgiveness. So no longer me and you can live in fear, but we can live in joy. John 14, 27 says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. He gives me and you peace now. No longer we are to live in fear, but he gives us peace. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says this, for God has not yet given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and sound mind. It's a transformative thing that happens in our life when we come to Jesus Christ and we embrace his offer of salvation. Now he comes and gives us his spirit. And his spirit sends out the fear from our lives, empowers us and lifts us up and gives us the supernatural love. And now the spirit of God gives us power, love, and sound mind to think clearly and to be moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we were held for eternal damnation. We were headed for eternal damnation. But now we have eternal communion and eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's amazing. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we were headed in the wrong direction. But Jesus Christ came and gave us life, life in abundance. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10 says this, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life in immortality to light through the gospel. He has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What is that gospel? It is good news. What's good news? That Jesus Christ so loved the world, as I read before, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish in their sin, should not perish in their despair, should not perish in fear, should not perish in hopelessness. But if you put your faith and trust in him, he shall live forever. John 11, 25 and 26 says this, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And what is it concluding here? There is this life that me and you live, it is by faith that we live. Do you believe that when you die, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you don't die, you just pass from this earthly journey into the heavenly places. Praise God. Praise God. And we shall never die because we have put our faith and trust in Him. The only way we can offer us everlasting life is by Him conquering death through the resurrection. So now we can truly say, as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God who gave me and you the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18 says this, God has reconciled us to Himself through Christ. Now in that garden where this relationship was broken, they were reconciled before, but now the relationship was broken because of the power of sin. And now in Corinthians, Apostle Paul is trying to bring this picture to us that God has reconciled mankind, me and you, to Him again through Jesus Christ. And now in John 14, 19, he says this, because I live, Jesus says, you will live also. What a promise. I love this promise. In the moments where I feel that I'm struggling, in the moments where I feel like I'm about to just give up, in the moments where I feel I'm grasping for air, I can't go on, I'm reminded that this life that I have, it's a supernatural life that can only be given by the power of the Holy Spirit to those that put their faith and trust in Him. And now the reason why me and you can live, it is because He lives. That's all. This is the story. Me and you live because Jesus lives. And because He lives within our hearts, we have hope. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. In different words, when we come to Jesus Christ, now He lives in us. We can't do what we want. We're not the boss of ourselves, but He becomes everything to us. He becomes our Savior. He becomes our direction. He becomes our healer. He becomes our hope. It is Him. And as Apostle Paul says here, no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And He gave Himself for me so I can live now. There is life, an amazing life in Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've been struggling, you have not been understanding fully, what does it mean to live a life in Christ Jesus? You're struggling in sin. You're struggling of trying to please God, but you don't have the strength to do it. You know in your head how to do it, but in your heart you feel empty. It is because you need to invite Jesus Christ to be part of your life. And not just part, but to be everything to me and to you. And when He does that, He takes control and He gives us life. And that's why it's a beautiful thing when we are partaking communion today. It is a reminder, it says, but he who drinks this cup and eats this bread shall live forever. Shall live forever. We are seated in heavenly places because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has opened the way for us. And He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, you can find purpose in me only. Not 10 ways, not 100 ways, one way to God the Father, through Jesus Christ. And when we come to Him, we find joy. I'm no longer the pilot of my own life. No longer I have control over my life and I do what I want to do because I have been bought by the price that was paid on a cross. But now, because I trusted Him, by putting my faith in Him and His salvation, He saved me. He saved me. He has taken me where on my own I could not have arrived. On my own I could not have arrived. On my own I was heading in the right direction, in the wrong direction. But He has saved me. Without Jesus Christ, I was headed for the eternal damnation, meaning separation from Holy God. But because He died and paid the penalty, He paid the price for my sin and resurrected on the third day for my justification, for my righteousness. He changed my destination. He changed my destination. And now I don't want to make it only about me, but I want to make it about you. And not only to me, but also to you, but for all who put their faith and trust in Him. Our destination is heaven, an eternal communion with Him. My and your destination, if we have Jesus, now has been changed. No longer we are headed for eternal death, but we are headed for eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, now we have access to that tree of life that was protected in that Garden of Eden. Now we can partake and no longer live in the fallen nature forever. But through Jesus Christ, through faith in Him, we live forever, justified, washed, holy people in God's sight. Praise God. Now we do not die in sin, but live and declare His works. Praise God. This is the power of resurrection. I said a lot, but I would encourage you, go back and listen to this message. This is the foundation, the core to our faith, of what we believe, that without the resurrection of Christ, our faith would be in vain. Apostle Paul talks about it. We would believe in vain, but because He resurrected, you can resurrect also. Because He resurrected, you can resurrect from the struggles, besetting sin, all the things that are holding you back, lying, deceive, everything that is holding me and you back, we can resurrect from those places by the power of God. By the power of God. Because me and you now are meant to live and live forever. Because our destination is no longer hell, but is heaven. Father, we thank You for who You are. Lord, I thank You for this word that is a lamp to our feet, the direction in our life. Lord, I pray that if there's people in this room that have not made a commitment to You, they might come to church, they might say that every Sunday I'm doing these rituals, but Monday through Saturday they live their own lives. Would You remind us again and again that You have come to give us life and life in abundance, not only to have life and joy in the service, but everywhere where we go. Because now You live within inside of us. And no longer I live, as Apostle Paul says, but Christ lives in me. I pray that You give us the boldness and give us the humility that we need to invite You into our lives. Not to think that we have made it on our own and we're going to finish the journey on our own. Because on our own, we're going to be headed in the wrong direction. On our own, we're going to be headed in the direction where the devil wants us to go. But God, when we come to You, You are the way and You will direct us. And You have changed our destination. No longer we are to live our eternity in the fallen nature, in sin, in pain, in separation from God. But now we have access to You through the cross, because Jesus Christ has conquered death through the power of resurrection. Thank You, God. Thank You for the hope we have in You now. Thank You, Lord, that You have saved us. Thank You, God, that You have loved us. Thank You, Jesus, that no longer we belong to ourselves, but we belong to You. Thank You, Lord, that You have caused us to live for You. Thank You, Jesus. We praise You and we worship You because You are worthy.